This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the courage method keeps emotional control intact when you must make high-stakes conflict decisions. A seven-step system for staying clear-headed when conflict pressure peaks. In short, emotional control during high-stakes conflict is not about suppressing what you feel. It is about having a structure that keeps your thinking clear enough to act from your values, not your fear. The courage method gives you seven sequential steps that slow reactive emotion before it drives a decision you will regret. Each step builds a deliberate buffer between the trigger and your response, giving you composure when the pressure is highest. Used consistently, the method becomes a reliable system for making conflict decisions with both courage and clarity. Definition: the emotional control method in conflict resolution is a structured process that regulates your emotional state before you make decisions during high-pressure disputes, ensuring your response comes from clear thinking and principled values rather than reactive impulse. You said something you meant. The tone was sharper than it needed to be, and you knew it in the moment. The other person went quiet, and the tension in the room shifted. That decision, made in 5 seconds of emotional flooding, cost you 3 weeks of damaged trust. Not because you were wrong about the facts, because you had no structure to slow you down. This is where the courage method becomes essential. High-stakes conflict puts your emotional control under its greatest pressure precisely when the consequences of losing it are highest. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the courage method in Chapter 10 as a seven-step framework for making decisions with confidence when the pressure is real and the cost of a reactive response is significant. What follows is a full explanation of each step, when to reach for this method, and how to build the fluency to use it when the heat is on. Why pressure strips emotional control before you notice it is gone. Most people believe they will stay composed under pressure until they are standing inside the pressure itself. I spent years watching capable people, good people, make decisions in conflict that contradicted everything they stood for. Not because they lacked character, because they lacked a structure to hold that character in place when the amygdala hijack was happening. When conflict carries real stakes, your brain's threat response fires before your reasoning catches up. The impulse to defend, attack, or retreat arrives faster than wisdom. Without a reliable system, your worst communication habits fill that gap. You say too much, or you go silent, or you make a call you cannot unmake. Structure does not remove the emotion. It gives the emotion somewhere useful to go. A method like courage does not make you feel less. It keeps you thinking clearly enough to act well despite what you feel. That distinction is the whole difference between reactive conflict and resolved conflict. The courage method. Each step shown in use. As outlined in Chapter 10 of Say It Right Every Time, the courage method is a seven-step framework for making high-stakes decisions with emotional control intact. Each letter names a step. Each step builds on the one before it. Step 1. C. Collect information. What it is. Before you form any position, gather the facts. All of them, from all sides. How it works. Number 1. Pause the urge to respond and ask, what do I actually know versus what am I assuming? Number 2. Speak to the people directly involved and listen without preparing your counterargument. Number 3. Write down what you have heard without editorial. Facts only, no judgments yet. In use, a team leader discovers that two colleagues have been undermining each other's work in front of a client. Her first reaction is anger and the impulse to act immediately. Instead, she speaks separately to each person, takes notes, and holds her conclusions until she has the full picture. When to skip it? You cannot. Every step that follows depends on accurate information. Skipping this step means every decision you make is built on assumption, and assumptions in conflict always cost more than the time saved. Eamon's note. I have made more mistakes by acting on the first account I heard than I care to admit. The first story is never the whole story. Collect before you conclude. Step 2. Oh. Outline the options. What it is. Once you have the facts, map every realistic path forward before you commit to one. How it works. Number 1. List at least 3 possible responses, from most confrontational to most conciliatory. Number 2. For each option, identify who benefits, who bears a cost, and what it signals to everyone watching. Number 3. Remove the options that serve only your emotional state in the moment. In use, the team leader from step 1 now has 3 choices: issue a formal warning to both parties, bring them into a mediated conversation or separate their responsibilities going forward. She writes these out and examines each one honestly. When to skip it. If the situation demands an immediate safety response, act first and debrief later. For everything else, this step prevents the tunnel vision that emotional pressure creates. Eamon's note. Conflict narrows your thinking. This step forces it back open. You cannot choose well from a list of one. Step 3. You. Understand the impact. What it is. Think through the full consequence of each option before you choose. Not just the immediate outcome, but the ripple effect on trust, relationships, and the wider team. How it works. Number 1. For each option you outlined, ask, what does this do to the relationship in 6 months? Number 2. Consider the people not directly in the conflict who will feel the outcome of your decision. Number 3. Be honest about which impacts you're comfortable owning. In use, the team leader realizes that a formal warning will likely cause one team member to resign, affecting a project mid-delivery. Understanding this impact does not mean avoiding the warning. It means she prepares for that consequence rather than being blindsided by it. This is where emotional control matters most. Reactive decision-making stops at the immediate outcome. Principled decision-making thinks forward. Understanding the full impact of a conflict decision requires you to set aside what feels satisfying right now and ask what actually serves the situation. If your team is already showing signs of amygdala hijack destroying their responses in real time, this step will reveal options that protect the group rather than just punish the individuals involved. Eamon's note. The decision that feels decisive in the moment often looks reckless in the retrospect. Understand the impact first. Step 4. R. Review your values. What it is. Before you act, ask whether your chosen path aligns with what you have told people you stand for, how it works. Number 1. Name your 3 core values as a leader or colleague. Write them down if you need to. Number 2. Hold each option against those values and ask, would I be comfortable if the people I respect most could see exactly what I'm doing and why? Number 3. If the answer is no, go back to step 2. In use. The team leader values transparency and fairness. She checks her chosen path, the mediated conversation, against both. She asks whether she is treating both parties equally and whether she is being honest about what she expects. She adjusts her approach accordingly. Why this step protects emotional control. When your actions align with your values, you feel less anxiety about the outcome. When they do not, the dissonance creates new emotional pressure that compounds the conflict. Reviewing your values is not idealism. It is a practical strategy for staying composed. The role of emotional intelligence and team synergy rests on exactly this: knowing what you stand for and choosing actions that are consistent with it even when fear or frustration pushes you elsewhere. Eamon's note. Clarity over comfort. That principle has guided me through more hard decisions than any tactic I was ever taught. Step 5. A. Act with conviction. What it is. Once you have collected the facts, mapped your options, understood the impact, and checked your values, act fully, without apology for the decision itself, how it works. Number 1. Communicate your decision directly and in plain language. No hedging, no burying the lead. Number 2. State what you have decided and why, briefly, so the other person understands the reasoning. Number 3. Hold the decision steady. Do not revise it based on emotional reaction in the room unless new facts emerge. In use, the team leader calls both colleagues in, explains what she observed and what she decided, and tells them clearly what she expects going forward. She does not soften the message to the point of obscuring it. When conviction requires courage, acting with conviction does not mean being inflexible. It means you do not undo a sound decision simply because someone responds with anger or disappointment. Emotional pressure in the room after a decision is made is not evidence that the decision was wrong. If you have followed the preceding steps, trust the work you did. Eamon's note. I've watched leaders make the right call and then erode it sentence by sentence in response to pushback. Act and let their action stand. Step 6. G. Gauge the reaction. What it is. After you act, pay close attention to how the other person or people respond. Not to second guess your decision, but to understand what comes next, how it works. Number 1. Observe both verbal and nonverbal responses without immediately interpreting them as threats or validation. Number 2. Ask one open question. What is your reaction to what I have just said? Number 3. Listen to the answer without defending your decision. You have already made it. Now you're gathering information for the next step in use. One of the team members responds with visible frustration and says little. The other responds with relief. The team leader notes both reactions and does not treat either as requiring an immediate revision of her position. Why this matters for emotional control. Dating the reaction requires you to stay regulated while someone else is not. This is one of the hardest parts of the method. If you can de-escalate team conflict without destroying the relationship, it begins here, in the discipline of observing rather than reacting to how others receive your decision. Eamon's note. Other people's emotional reactions are information. They are not verdicts on your character or your decision. Step 7. A. Explain your rationale. What it is. Close the loop. Tell the person or group why you made the decision you made, in terms of what you valued and what you considered, how it works. Number 1. Share the reasoning briefly, what you gathered, what you weighed, and what guided your choice. Number 2. Be specific. Vague rationale breeds suspicion. Clear rationale builds trust even when people disagree with the outcome. Number 3. Invite questions, not to reopen the decision, but to ensure the person feels heard and understood. In use. The team leader closes the conversation by saying, I want you both to know I spoke with you separately. I thought about what was fair to each of you and to the client. And I made this call because I believe it gives us the best chance of repairing the relationship. I'm happy to answer questions about my thinking. The trust this builds. Explaining your rationale is not weakness. It is the final act that transforms a decision into a conversation. It models the transparency that psychological safety requires. And it demonstrates the kind of feedback delivery courage that earns you the right to be heard next time. Eamon's note. Silence breeds fear and uncertainty. Explain yourself. Not to justify your power, but to respect the people who are affected by your decisions. Choosing the right step to lean on when pressure peaks. The method works best when followed in sequence, but emotional control during conflict often means recognizing which step you are most tempted to skip and refusing to skip it. If you are doing this, the step you are skipping, what it costs you. Acting before listening. C. Collect information. You decide on assumptions. Locking in the first solution. O. Outline the options you miss. Better pass. Feeling satisfied. Not thinking forward. You. Understand the impact damage surprises you later. Doing what feels good, not what is right. R. Review your values. You contradict yourself publicly. Hedging and softening your position. A. Act with conviction. You create ambiguity and distrust. Defending instead of listening post-decision. G. Gauge the reaction you miss. What needs to happen next. Leaving the decision unexplained. E. Explain your rationale. You leave people feeling dismissed. Brief narrative. When you are under pressure, your emotional state tends to skip directly to step 5. Act with conviction, without the groundwork. That is not conviction. That is impulse dressed up as decisiveness. The steps before step 5 are what give step 5 its weight. Similarly, if you are the kind of person who overprocesses and never acts, your weak step is likely step 5. Know your default failure mode. And that is the step you practice first. If you are working on the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction, you will find that both methods reinforce each other. One builds composure in receiving, the other builds composure in deciding. Where people lose emotional control inside the method. Following a framework is not the same as following it well under pressure. Here are the places where emotional regulation breaks down even when people know the method. The mistake. Rushing through steps 1 to 3 in your head without actually pausing. Why it happens. Conflict creates urgency. The discomfort of not acting feels like a problem to solve. What to do instead. Write the steps down when the stakes are high. A physical list slows your thinking in a way that mental rehearsal does not. The mistake. Performing conviction in step 5 while still feeling uncertain. Why it happens. You moved too quickly through step 4 and your values check was superficial. What to do instead. If you feel shaky before you act, go back to step 4. The shaking is information. The mistake. Taking step 6 personally. Why it happens. When someone reacts badly to your decision, your nervous system reads it as a threat. What to do instead. Remind yourself before the conversation that a difficult reaction is not a rejection of you. It is data about where the other person is. Using the deal method to resolve fracturing conflicts alongside this step can help you structure what happens after you gauge the reaction. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency with emotional control over time. In Chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe a progressive approach to building communication skills. Start at low stakes, build the muscle, then apply it where it costs the most. The same logic applies to the courage method. You do not learn to stay regulated under maximum pressure by starting there. You start with a conflict that matters, but is not existential. A disagreement about a process. A tension over a deadline. You run the method deliberately, step by step, out loud if you can. You notice where your emotional control held and where it cracked. You do not judge the cracks. You use them as your training targets. Small changes, practiced consistently, produce real results over time. 1% better each week at step one, actually pausing before collecting, compounds into a fundamentally different way of handling conflict within a few months. The goal is not a perfect performance. The goal is that the method becomes the reflex that replaces the reactive one. Keep a brief record after each difficult conversation. What step did you use well? Where did emotional pressure take you off track? Which step do you need to trust more? This is the kind of reflection that turns a framework into a genuine skill. The ground beneath the method. Here is the truth of it. The courage method is not a trick for appearing calm. It is a structure for being clear. The emotional control it builds is real because it is earned step by step in the work you do before you open your mouth. You will not use it perfectly the first time. Neither did I. But every time you reach for it instead of reacting, you're building something that compounds the credibility of a person who acts from principle, not pressure. That credibility, earned through dozens of hard decisions handled well, is what people mean when they say they trust someone's judgment. This much I know for certain: the emotional control method you reach for in your worst moment determines who you are as a communicator. Make sure it is a structure, not a habit you've never examined. Frequently asked questions. What is the emotional control method in conflict resolution? An emotional control method in conflict resolution is a structured process that helps you regulate your feelings before making decisions during disputes. The courage method, from Chapter 10 of Say It Right Every Time, is one such system, giving you 7 sequential steps to stay clear-headed when pressure peaks. How does the courage method help with emotional control? The courage method slows your decision-making process during high-stakes conflict, so reactive emotion cannot override clear thinking. Each step builds a buffer between the trigger and your response, giving you time to collect facts, weigh options, and act from your values rather than your fear. When should you use the courage method in a conflict? Use the courage method when the conflict carries significant consequences for relationships, careers, or team trust. It is most valuable when you feel emotional pressure to decide quickly, when multiple stakeholders are affected, or when a wrong call could damage something that matters and is difficult to repair. What is the difference between emotional control and suppression during conflict? Emotional control means regulating your feelings so they inform rather than override your decisions. Suppression means pushing emotions down and ignoring them entirely. The courage method builds genuine control by giving structure to the decision process, not by pretending the emotional pressure does not exist. Can the courage method be used in team conflict situations? Yes, the method was designed for any high-stakes conflict decision, including those involving teams. Steps like outline the options and gauge the reaction are especially useful when multiple people are affected, because they prompt you to consider perspectives beyond your own before you act. How do you build emotional control as a long-term skill in conflict? Emotional control strengthens through deliberate practice at progressively higher stakes, as outlined in Chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time. Start by using the courage method in low-pressure conflicts, track what each step reveals about your default reactions, and build from there toward the most difficult situations. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit eamonblickthorne.com to get your copy.